remain standing. Let's read our text. John chapter 12 verse 32 before we sit down. Before we sit down. Before we sit down. Before we sit down. Before we sit down, sister. Sister, that sister, no, sister, no.
John 12, 32.
Wait. Let's find out why that sister is not standing. She's not hearing us. In a battlefield, when commanders say, move, you move. Stand, you stand. That is why military training begins with drill exercise. Attention. Stand at ease to see whether you can obey orders or not. Waiting the attention. Open. What do they do with leg? Attention. Open. It's not with the leg that they find. Now, whether you can obey orders, stand up. You then sit down. And our sisters, and they get this problem with. Brothers, clap for yourselves. A text. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, we draw all men unto me. May the Lord help us to understand these scriptures in the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated as we continue the third and the final part of the message we titled The Rapture Pools. Our own attempt to make us understand this much expected rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's important that we know it because it will help you to relate with God better and to respond to this last move of God and respond appropriately. So, try to get the last two parts as we have looked at the first pool. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Draw all men. Where I will be, you will be also. Rapture is pulling God's children from earth to glory. Pulling God's children from earth to glory. And a scripture that you will hardly see in any bookshop. If I have never seen it in any bookshop, not even in Amazon. Nowhere at all where they sell book online, anywhere in the listing, have I seen any topic that is treating 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. If I read it from verse 13.
But I would not have you to be ignorant.
Ignorance. Brethren, don't be ignorant of this.
Concerning them which are asleep.
Concerning the brethren that are dead.
That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
Don't begin to cry for brethren that are dead, like as if there is no hope. There is hope for those who die in Christ. Listen.
For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord.
It is thus saith the Lord.
That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord.
We who are alive, we who are alive, and we are still alive, remaining until the day the Lord will come,
shall not prevent them which are asleep.
We are not going to hinder those who are dead in Christ that are on the grave now.
For the Lord himself.
This is how the rapture will take place.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a
shout. He will descend from heaven for the rapture in three phases. The first phase is what?
With a shout.
He will come with a shout.
With the voice of the archangel.
With the voice of the archangel.
And with the trump of God.
And that is the three pulls again. And then what will happen?
And the dead in Christ shall rise.
Then the first that will respond will be the dead in Christ. They will rise first. We shall see them.
Then we which are alive and remain shall
Who are alive and we remain, what will happen?
Shall be caught up together with them.
Together with them. And where would you meet him?
To meet the Lord in the air.
And so
shall we ever be with the Lord.
That is the rapture process. So three phases. Resurrection itself is in three phases. That shout. The voice of the archangel. And the trump of God. Three phases to pull The harvest of God's children pull us from earth to glory. So that you will not be confused with the erroneous teaching that suddenly as you walk out, you go to your market, you hear, papa, 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 papa. Then, oh, yeah, this one will go. Oh, yeah, this one will go. Oh, yeah. And then, that's not how it will happen. Can I tell you again? The rapture has started.
Hallelujah.
And if you did not hear the shout, amen. Hallelujah. That is the beginning of it all. If you do not hear the shout, you will not hear the voice of the archangel. You will not hear the trump of God if you did not hear the shout. And the shout, I'm summarizing what I have spoken before. That shout, Apostle Paul said, shout. But Jesus Christ, in a parable, he spoke about two groups of people. They are believers, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins in Matthew 25. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, men slept. It is something that happened, the history of the church. But verse 6.
And at midnight,
yes,
there was a cry made.
Now, at midnight, there was a cry made. That cry made. Jesus said, call it cry. Apostle Paul, call it shout. What is the cry saying?
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out.
So, it is an end time event. It is we in the end time, because everybody knows we're at the end time, that this will be fulfilled. Among believers, there will be two groups, verse 7.
Then all those virgins arose.
All the believers arose. Now, that shout, that midnight, it was at midnight. Why midnight? Because the midnight here is speaking about the dark ages that the church went through. After the day of Pentecost, something happened. You are talking about the deeds of the Nicolaitans and all the Antichrist spirit depicted by that black horse. The Antichrist spirit depicted in the Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And verse 6, in there was a revival there. The oil and the wine. In verse 6, what does verse 6 say?
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou ought not the oil.
He said, you
wine.
Can do your commercialization, that is Catholicism. You can do your commercialization, but there will be a revival. The oil and the wine. That revival is the response to the midnight cry. The darkest hour of Christianity, there was a cry made for that church that was given birth to, planted on the day of Pentecost, that died when Christianity and paganism merged together to produce the Roman church. When that church died in AD 325, and that all, every theologian knows this, even the Pope of Rome knows this, that in AD 325, paganism and Christianity married and produced the Roman church that persecuted any other church, any other believer that will not follow the system. And according to the record, 6 million Christians were killed for refusing to join that system. 68 million Christians died. 68 million Christians died. They are the ones, part of them, found in Revelation chapter 7. Now listen, and when we say these things, we are not castigating or casting aspersion, ridiculing any denomination. There is no other way of saying it than the way we say it. And please, I am not the first saying it. Even the Seventh-day Adventists, they started it.
That's right.
Seventh-day Adventists in 18th century. Ellen G. White, their leader, that woman, brought it out. This 666 that we calculate, some of you think that it's William Branham that brought it. They are the ones that brought it. That's calculated 666 and pointed it to the leader of that church. So when I speak, there is no other way to say it than the way we are saying it. By the time I finish reading that message, William Branham preached, titled The Exposition of the Seven Church Ages, I read it in 1989. And since then, I knew better. My eyes were open to see what is Christ and what is Antichrist. To see the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, the mystery of this church. To see what is happening. When Apostle Paul said, not all Israel is of Israel, you also understand, not all Christians are of Christ. That it is true. Jesus himself predicted it. In the same church, tares are planted, wheat are planted, but two different people planted them there. It is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that's why I know too much than for me, for any reason. In fact, I have never been. Luckily for me, God prepared me, kept me in the condition he kept me inside the Ikoyi prison. For 2 years, I was studying and studying. By the time I came back, prison, I can't go to any denomination. I knew too much who they were. Impact of revelation. That is why I preached that message titled The Impact of Revelation. Revelation demands an appropriate response. If not, it is only religion. You are not a Muslim, not because you know who Jesus is, but it's because Christianity is better than Islam. Because Christianity is easier than Muslim. Muslim prayed 5 times. Your own. There is intercessor. You can give people money to go to the mountain for you. Listen, church. These things we are saying, in the dark ages, read the story, almost 1,000 years, Satan closed anything Bible. And the only thing that was known was Roman Catholicism and their doctrines. But in the darkest hour, there was a revival. Praise the Lord. That revival was the fulfillment of the midnight cry. Was the fulfillment of the shout. The pull from dark ages unto glory. It began with the restoration of all that were destroyed during the dark ages. The apostolic faith. Totally, completely destroyed. But God began to restore them one after the other, one after the other. The three works of grace. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. He used Martin Luther. He will always use somebody to spearhead the revival that opened the eyes of the people, and they came out of Catholicism, known as the Protestant movement. With one doctrine, justification. The just shall live by faith, not by all the ordinances that were going on. I mean, the rituals. You have to pay all the indulgences and everything. I read the history. And some of them are still, they are being practiced up till now. Then he added the second work of grace. Use a man by the name of John Wesley. Holiness, without which no man will see God. He brought sanctification. Then, in 1906, Azusa Street Revival, he used another man. What is his name? It's not William Branham, oh. I'm saying this because even me, I used to make that mistake. Our teachers told us that it is William Branham that God used. It is not William Branham, oh. Praise the Lord. This is what William Branham himself said. And I pray that I can get that quote now and show you. Amen. Professor Elvis brought this to my attention. He sent the quote to me. Listen, there's a message that William Branham preached that he titled God's Only Provided Place of Worship in 1965. He preached it. And let me quote a paragraph in that message. He said, now the Pentecostals, that brother, one, I believe is one of his eyes was out. A colored brother, and this person he's talking about is William Seymour. He had one eye. He had a problem with one eye. He says, one of his eyes was out, a colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California, old Azusa Street. He was laughed at. And because he was a Negro, he was made fun of. But he brought a message for that age. Just a little body, a fellow could hardly sign his own name, but the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of those gifts. And they come. No matter what he said, it come. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it and seen it was that age and seen God vindicating that those people could speak with tongues and so forth. It happened. William Branham identified William Seymour as the man that God used to restore the gifts. They hate Pastor Moses for saying it. So it means they were not following the ministry of William Branham because they needed to know the truth. They were looking for an idol. And when their error is spotted out, I was studying the scripture when I came across this. I said, what is happening? You put a name for justification. Martin Luther. You put a name for sanctification, John Wesley. Then when he comes to Pentecost, they will say Pentecostals. Why will you not call the name of the man that God used? He used a black man by the name of William Seymour. Go and Google William Seymour and see how God used that man. It's all in the net. So I'm not telling you something new. It is part of the pool. It is part of the pool. Amen. Now listen. But by the time we come to the third pool for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is when Matthew 13 verse 47, that is the last church age and the seventh parable for the seventh church age, which we are in. Reading from verse 47, yes.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind.
This is the revival that gathered all manner of people because it is about anointing. Uh-huh.
Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away.
Uh-huh.
So shall it be at the end of the
world. So shall it be at this end time.
The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
So, in this age that we are in, there will be a separation. That is where I ended last Sunday, where we have a beautiful type, a shadow of it, in the story of Esther. And I ended by giving us a picture that all the maidens came to replace Vashti. Let me refresh your memory. King Vashti, King Ahasuerus had a queen, Vashti, invited her to come to show up in a feast. She turned it down. And when she turned it down, the king was advised to put her away and find a replacement. That is Israel and Christ for you and God. He came to his own rejected him. So he turned to the Gentiles to look for the replacement of that queen that was put away. Amen. And that is how the gospel came to us. The gospel came to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever, go and preach the gospel to all creatures, he that believes and is baptized. So it looks as if gospel is for everybody. Announcement went that the king wants a replacement for the queen. There is only one queen. There can only be one queen. But who will be qualified? So all the maidens submitted themselves. They all came out. That is where we understand the mystery of different churches. You say, is Christ divided? Why are we divided? No, it is the maidens. The maidens are looking for the king to go in the rapture. And every maiden has her name. Every maiden that left their father's house to go to hope that they will be the one that will replace the Queen Vashti. So, let me give you some of their names. Redeem. Sister Redeem. She's preparing for the rapture. Sister Sele. Sister Ladura. Sister Chuzi. Sister Bride Assembly. Sister Baptist. Sister Foursquare. Sister Wina. Sister Synagogue. Sister Trem. Sister Who? Presbyterian. Sister Deeper Life. Sister Assemblies of God. Sister ERCC. Sister Equa. They are all, they had it. They want to be the one to replace Queen Vashti. But before you go, there are ministries that will prepare you. That is where I reached last week. Amen. If you are to be prepared, then there will be a qualification. What will qualify you to be the queen? This is where many people will miss it. That is where you will hear Christ say there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is where you will understand, for many are called, but few are chosen. That is why you will understand, make your calling and election sure. We all know the story that it was Esther that qualified. But what made Esther to be qualified? So what is the qualification? We want to look at it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Esther chapter 2, from verse 15.
Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail.
No, the rest. Let's start with the first group.
Verse 12.
Go to verse 12. Start from verse 12.
Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into King
Okay, Gazus, now it is time for inspection. Listen, they have, take notes in that story that they, all of them came and they were presented to a ministry. The ministry there is Haggai. The Bible describes Haggai as the keeper of the women. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, in the divine order, who are those that God has given the ministry for perfection? It is a five-fold ministry. He gave some what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body. They are to prepare us until we all come into the unity of the faith, until we all come into the stature of Jesus Christ. Perfection. That is represented by Hagar for all those women that went through those seven chamberlains, seven star messengers, seven church angels. At the end, they are presented for perfection. Because you came out of your denominations. You came out of the dark ages. You came out with a lot of denominational hangover. When you see a pastor with a seat like a king and another one like a queen for him and his wife at the altar, it's a hangover of Catholicism. Did you see the seat of the Pope? That is where he got it from. When you see the pastors that are charging people before they pray for them, they got it from the Catholic Church, where they came out from. When you see them having headquarters and branches everywhere, where they raise money and then send to the headquarters, and the headquarters employ them and then promote them and transfer them, and they are working for the GO and that family business. Where did they get it from? It's where they are coming out from. It's from Catholicism in the dark ages. When you see them say, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. It is when Catholicism, Christianity, and paganism joined together that idol worship came into the church. Who is Mary? They were worshiping a woman as idol. They only gave it a Christian name. It's idolatry. Why are Christians celebrating Christmas on the 25th of December? There was nothing like that before, until this dark ages came up. The history of Christ was not born on the 25th of December. They were always celebrating it before he came. Who is Saint Valentine? He was Catholic. They have many saints. You are not a saint until you die, according to Catholic religion. But saint means sanctified ones. Amen. And the saints of God are sitting down here today, if you are sanctified. Where did they get all those titles from? Reverend, Reverend Doctor, Archbishop, and all these titles that they bear. Where? It's the hangover. When you come before Hagar, he will clean you up. That is the fivefold ministry. But this is where the problem is. Read on from verse 12 and 13.
Now, when every maidstone was come to go into King Ahasuerus.
Now it is time for inspection. And this is the time now. For that parable says, when they all come, then there is separation. See how the separation will take place. Go on.
After that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king.
Now, every maiden now, everyone, we will stand before God. What will happen? Whatever she desired. You are coming before the person that will dress you for the king. But you are telling the person, this is how I want to appear. That is where Christianity has her problem today. Show them what the Bible is saying. They will tell you, our church don't believe like this. Read on again.
Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house.
So with it now you're going to meet the king. Go on.
In the evening she went.
In the evening she will go. Listen very well. If you catch this revelation only, I can end the message.
And on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women.
So there is inspection of your appearance. This appearance is not the cloth you wear. It's not don't wear earring, don't wear trouser. It's inspection of your spiritual appearance. Go on.
Into the second house of the women.
Oh, start again.
In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shaashgaz.
My wife was asking me, what were they doing overnight in the king's palace? I said, I don't know, but it was all night. Go on.
The king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came.
They did what?
In the evening she went,
yes.
And on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shaashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines.
There is a queen and there is a concubine. There is a king and there is a queen and there is concubine, and there is the ministry that takes care of concubine believers, but they will never be queen. Hey, I don't want to be Shaashgaz. That's why I will tell you the truth.
Hallelujah.
Fire on.
Into the custody of Shaashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more.
She came into the king no more.
Except the king delighted in her.
That is, it maybe she will repent.
And that she were called by name.
And you have to be called, hey, you have to be called by name. Now, let's go to Esther, verse 15.
Now, when the turn of Esther,
the daughter of Abiah,
the uncle of Mordecai,
yes,
who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king.
She was also among the maiden, but watch it, she was a slave. She was a slave. No wonder the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Because they are the ones that will realize their estate. They will see that there is nothing in them that can please God. Therefore, they need God to help them to live a life pleasing before God. They are the only ones that enjoy grace. But when you ever have any ability. And so I was sharing with my wife this morning. I said I was meditating on the power of the covenant. The power of the covenant. When God enters a covenant with you, you have nothing else to do. There is nothing you will do. It is not about him. It's now about him. And he will do everything around you so that you will look unto him and him alone. When you are into a covenant with God, life is sweet. You are not protected because you pray too much. You are protected because of the covenant. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart.
You always be with us.
Oh, yes.
Oh, truly.
nothing sweeter on earth than to be in a covenant relationship with God. It is only then, it is for his own good, remember, that he gave himself to the church, that he might cleanse and wash with the water of the word, that he might present her to himself. Hey. Hallelujah. The cleansing is by him. To live a life pleasing before him, it is his duty. He will mold you. He will do it. Not because you deserve it. He loves me. I cannot tell why. Hey.
He loves me. I cannot tell why.
Troubling you, he will tell you, vengeance is of the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. When it is time for you to pray, he will push you to pray. When it is time for you to fast, he will push you to fast and give you the grace to fast. Oh, glory be to God. And when you are too weak to pray, he will raise somebody and put your burden upon that person to pray for you. Covenant relationship with God. That is the God we serve. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your only problem that you have is come to me. Come. Come. Submit yourself. That's all. That's all. All he wants to hear is, oh Jesus, I have
promise to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever. My master and my friend.
With you, so that you say, Baba, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I will not do it again. Hallelujah. Then you can run and go anywhere. By the time he finishes with you, like the prodigal son,
come in, evermore.
Away. He has been waiting for you to come back. You backsliding Christian, the problem is you, not God. Anytime you come back, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. When you come, he will bathe you, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you have to remember how worthless you are. That estate keeps you humble like Esther. And so what did Esther do?
Now, When the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abiel,
yes,
the uncle of Mordecai,
yes,
who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Agai, the king's child.
Can you see the difference? The other maidens is what they desired. But Esther,
she required nothing.
Esther's own is not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord. Not my will. Not my will. Not my purpose, for we are called according to his purpose. Not according to your purpose. See the effect.
But what Agai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed.
Yes.
And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her.
Uh-huh.
So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus.
It's his own time for inspection. Her own time for inspection.
Into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tibet, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther
above
all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti.
What qualified Esther is the dressing. That's the parable that we see in Matthew 22.
And
from verse 1.
And Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables.
Yes.
And said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden.
You see, the story of Esther and King Vashti and Queen Vashti and King Ahasuerus. Now, if you don't understand it that way, now, in another parable, now Jesus Christ is bringing it out. It's the same story of Israel rejecting salvation and salvation coming to the Gentiles. But see how the Lord Jesus Christ put it.
Tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city.
Burned down their
city.
One city. Which city is that?
Jerusalem
in AD 70, this came to pass. Go ahead.
Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy.
That is what Apostle Paul was referring to in Acts chapter 13. But go ahead.
Go ye therefore into the highways.
Yes.
And as many as ye shall find,
uh-huh,
bid to the marriage.
Uh-huh.
So those servants went out into the highways,
uh-huh,
and gathered together all, as uh-huh many as they found,
uh-huh,
both bad and good.
Yes.
And the wedding was furnished with guests.
Uh-huh.
And when the king came in to see the guests,
there will be inspection. Uh-huh.
He saw there a man which had not on.
There was somebody there that did not have a wedding garment. Mm. Go on.
Which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless.
He was speechless. What did he say?
Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Uh-huh.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
You see? The emphasis is the dressing. And take note here. I've said it here before several times. Why was he speechless? How come you are here without the wedding garment? And he was speechless. He had no answer. Do you know why? That person is a member of Brother Assembly Church. Because all you should know to prepare you for the rapture, you have had it. We have not shown to declare to you the wholesome word of God, the truth. I may be rude in my speech, but not in knowledge. I have shown you all that you should know in this mystery of redemption that God has graciously revealed to us. They are the ones you see in Revelation chapter 7 from verse 9. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb.
It's a global look there, yes?
Clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Uh-huh. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Uh-huh. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest.
Again, verse 13.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes?
Who are these that are clothed in white robes?
And whence
that
came
are multitude to millions like that?
And whence came they?
From where did they come?
And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me,
listen now.
These are they which came out of great tribulation.
Great problems. Not the tribulation that will come after the rapture. We have had already 68 million were killed one time. Many more have been dying, standing for this faith.
These are these which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes.
They have washed their robes
and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
In the blood of the Lamb.
Therefore are they before the throne of God,
yes,
and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them.
Now, listen. There is another group that looks as if it is two different groups in Revelation chapter 19. I want to explain it from verse 7.
Let us be glad and rejoice,
yes,
and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come.
He said, for the marriage of the Lamb is come,
and his wife hath made herself ready.
He said, his wife has made herself ready. When did the wife get herself ready? Is he in heaven? We shall get ourselves ready. It's here now. Hallelujah. The appearance, your robe, getting yourself ready is washing it with the blood of the Lamb. Washing it with the blood of the Lamb. We see in Revelation chapter 7. Those in Revelation chapter 7, they are those that are ready. The marriage has not yet taken place, so they are waiting for the marriage. The marriage takes place in chapter 19. Now, note something. Read it again.
Let us be glad and rejoice,
yes,
and give honor to him,
yes,
for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready.
Now, verse 8.
And to her was granted,
because she is ready. It is because she is ready. That is why it's granted to her that what?
That she should be arrayed in fine linen.
Now, it is no longer white robe. The texture of the material is now defined as what?
Fine linen.
Linen,
clean
is
and
the
white
material for royalty. Now, she is now being dressed as a queen that will come with King Jesus to come and rule the earth. Except you are part of Revelation chapter 7, multitude dressed in white, cleaned with the blood of the Lamb, you will not qualify to be dressed and crowned as a queen. Read on.
Fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
See the end, read on.
And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus.
They have the testimony of Jesus.
Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Go on.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse.
Can you see now, ready to come down? Go ahead.
And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire.
Coming for judgment. Coming to take over the earth.
And on his head were many crowns.
Yes.
And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
Oh, glory be to God.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen.
We are the armies referred to there. That will be coming down, the bride, yes?
Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings
and Lord of lords. Verse 17.
And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God.
Because that is when Christ is coming together with us to take over this earth. Your dressing, your spiritual appearance, trimming of your lamps of revelation. You can never reflect Christ above the revelation that you have of him. That's why in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 5, that popular scripture there.
For whatsoever is born of God,
yes,
overcometh the world.
We overcome this world. Go ahead.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world.
Yes.
Even our faith.
Oh, glory be to God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and verse, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and verse 5.
Verse 5.
What gives us the victory? Verse 5.
Who is he that overcometh the world?
Yes.
But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
That when he said the victory that overcometh the world is our faith. Faith here is a revelation. It is only revelation of who Christ is. And knowing what is ahead of us, that you will be ready to die for the gospel. That's why you see in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12.
Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them.
Verse 10 and verse 11. Maybe read verse 11.
Verse 9.
Verse 11.
Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
The accuser of the brethren, verse 10 speaks about the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. And the brethren, we, they overcame him. They are the ones, those who overcame him, they are those you see in Revelation chapter 7. They overcame him by what?
By the blood of the Lamb.
And what?
And by the word of their testimony.
And see what happened?
And they loved not their lives unto the death.
Even unto the death. They are ready to die, and they died standing for the truth. Your own small hunger will come. Like Esau, you will sell your birthright. When you are born again, there are rights that go with your new birth. Because of hunger, because of money, fear, and all the cares of this world, you sell your birthright. You are not yet ready to put on that robe. Number one qualification is submit yourself to the fivefold ministry to dress you up spiritually. Dress you up. That's why every program we end with the baptism of the Holy Ghost is part of the dressing. The second qualification is trim your lamps of revelation. Trim your lamps. Trim your lamps. See the admonishment that he gave us in Luke chapter 12, verse 35 up to verse 40. He said, let your loins be gathered about.
And your lights burning.
Yes.
And ye yourselves like unto men.
Listen to that language. Let that language again.
Let your loins be girded about.
Let your loins, that is spiritual dressing now, be guided about.
And your light burning.
Your light burning that will show you the way, and the word of God is the lamp unto our feet.
And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord.
Are we not waiting for our Lord? Therefore, we should put up a posture that shows we are expecting the rapture. When he will return from the wedding.
When he will return from the wedding.
Yes.
That when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately.
Go on.
Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching.
Uh-huh.
Verily I say unto you, that he shall give himself and make them to sit down to meat,
uh-huh,
and will come forth and serve them.
Uh-huh.
And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants.
Uh-huh.
And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken through.
Uh-huh. Finally.
Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think
again
not. Be ye therefore ready also.
Be ye also ready, for the Son of Man cometh at the time, an hour, when you think not. That is why he said, watch and pray. How are you to watch? You are to watch in the attitude of the firstborn child, firstborn son in Egypt. When the message went forth, the angel of death will pass this night, and every firstborn son will be killed. But if you apply the blood of that animal in the lintels and the doorposts of your house, when I see the blood, I will pass. What was the condition? Apply the blood. But you know, you can apply that blood, and the last born that didn't concern him can go and clean it. Therefore, and he will clean it only when you are sleeping, because when you are awake, he won't try it. Watch. Watch with the attitude of the firstborn. No, put yourself in his position, Lulumide. Smart. Put yourself in a position. Sister, the only, and you are the firstborn, no? It not concern secondborn, no? It not concerning prostitutes. They don't know anything. They are already candidates for hell. He said, judgment is coming. He said, all will be there. He said, each one receive. Spiritual graph. Are you getting better, or you are getting worse, or you are stagnated in your spiritual life? Watch it. That's why he said, examine yourself if you be in the faith. Make your calling and election sure is part of watching. Watch. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Watch unto his coming. Watch, 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 watch. Watch. For any time from now, we are the end time. The signs are fast coming to pass. We are seeing it. When the bridegroom comes, will you be ready?
Will you be ready when the Lord shall I go? Will you be ready when the Lord shall I come?
My sisters,
will you be ready when the Lord shall I come?
here, he said.
Before the throne, when the bridegroom comes,
put our hands together for our Lord. Thank you very much for your patience. The bells are sounding now. It's a jubilee sound. Freedom from all the denominational hangovers, all the bondage of errors.